depending upon the Lord for help, I direct your attention to the 13th chapter of Hebrews and reading verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We come to the opening of another year, and we are apt to look back on the past. The older we get, the more we reminisce on the past. And if God in his infinite mercy has begun to work in our heart, we'll think on those things that he has done for us. Now, there is something very clear in the epistle to the Hebrews, and it's this, that there are two things that never change. That is man's nature and his sinfulness. For we are told that the wages of sin is death, and that can never be altered. You'll trace that right back to Genesis, when thus Adam and Eve were so tempted that they died in sin in the transgression of God's most holy law, his mind and his will. And there is something else that will never alter, that salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We read that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that was never altered. Jesus, his teaching, his gospel, will never alter. I'm sure of this. You may discover from time to time that our own wicked heart and the hearts and mind of others like to try and revise these facts about sin and salvation. Good Mr. Philpott said this once, that wrong views of salvation, an error with regards to salvation, arise because there has been wrong views of sin. Just a word on the side here. You young people might say, oh, but we don't read such things as Mr. Philpott. Far too deep, far too hard. Have you ever tried? Forget what other people have said, and I'm sure of this, you may find it's totally different, that his writing, his teaching is not only is straight and to the point. Friend, we can say this, it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That is a good thing for us to remember, not with regards to just Mr. J.C. Philpott, But through many men, they may well be blackmailed, they may well be slighted and slandered because they preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, when you hear such things as this, may God give you this grace to ask this question. Did these men speak the truth? Was there light in what they said? Or was it wrapped up in darkness and mystique? Was there something hidden and sly about it? I say, we need to look at these things, as God might give us grace in the light of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what is light? What is truth? That's exactly what Pilate said. Friends, he didn't know. But my friend, Jesus Christ is forever the same. And he tells us, I am the way. I'm sure of this, that there's nothing hard and complicated about that, is there? Jesus Christ said, I am the way. You may well say, but Jesus Christ is now gone. But my friend, he still is the way. I like the words of that hymn, which reads like this: Jesus, my all, to heaven has gone, and whom I put my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Friend, Jesus Christ, this is the way in which all God's people have walked in ever since man fell into sin, when he saved them by his grace. They fell into darkness, but friends, he quickens them by his Holy Spirit that they might be brought out into the light. Well, I may speak in this way, but what I want to emphasize here tonight, that this isn't just a matter to teach in a broad sense, but friends, it's a personal matter betwixt my soul and God, your soul and God. And so we need to ask the question, as it was put to you this afternoon: how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Friend, if they're unclear, then indeed are we not standing in a matter of uncertainty. Oh, I say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. I came not to call the righteous. And who are the righteous? Before we go round looking at other people, do we come into that category? Am I righteous? Am I self-sufficient in and of myself? Do I really think that God will accept me as I am? Well, the answer, my friend, is definitely no, by what Jesus Christ has ever taught. For one that came to Jesus by night said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? My friend, Jesus, Nicodemus came to him also. Jesus said to him, ye must be born again. What did Jesus mean by that? He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, it profiteth nothing. In other words, it is all of my blessed spirit. And it doesn't matter who we are and how good we might look in the eyes of other people, if our beginning has not got this foundation, Jesus Christ sending his Holy Spirit into our souls, then surely there's something very dubious, doubtful about our profession. I hope I'm not hurting folk this night, but I say it because I trust I have a love for souls. And oh, it's a solemn thing to stand before a people and to think that some of those people one day might perish and be lost into eternal perdition. But I say, oh, a blessed thing if by the power of the Holy Spirit such souls are born again and find salvation through no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus Christ never orders. We've heard people say, well, of course we have more wisdom, we have more knowledge, we have more light today. You may have more knowledge. You may walk in the sparks of your own kindling and call it light. But I say, how great, says the word, is their darkness. I say, but Jesus, my friends, is eternally the same. And I say, what a mercy that is. Now, first of all, I do want to just speak Jesus Christ in his teaching. It never alters. It never changes. As I said, man never changes in his sin. This word that Jesus spake, he says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Again, he says, no man can serve two masters. Jesus had no need to change it. He had no need to revise it. Because Jesus never discovers something he didn't know before, and is compelled to alter his word. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and therefore he sees all things and he knows all things. He is the same forever. So when he said, love not the world, neither things of the world, surely that is just the same today as ever it was. You may say to me then, what is the world? I say this, the things of the world, those things that take more of our attention, those things of more concern and trouble to us than our own never dying soul, and of loving the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking earnestly to know and do his will. I say, he came to Peter after his conversion and said, Simon Bar-Jonas, lovest thou me? And three times he said that to him, didn't he? And Peter answered and said, Lord, thou knowest all things. He learnt that lesson, friend. Have you and I learnt that lesson? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He was not boasting. Indeed not. he had proved the love of Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fiery furnace, friends, is often that, is when God comes and separates us from the world. Oh, I say, what we understand by the world, I put it to you another way. What are your thoughts when you wake up in the morning? What is the first thing you are concerned about? I can't imagine entirely what you might be thinking about. The thing that is most important and most dear to you. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall I offend him? Shall I trouble him? Friend, it's a great mercy if the Lord has given you a concern to bow your knee before him and cry unto him, Lord, guide me and direct me by thy counsel. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. His call unto the church right down through the ages has ever been, follow thou me. I believe that when I was here last year, I spake from those words in Jeremiah 3 verse 12. Go and proclaim these words to his people and say, return unto God. My friends, what a mercy that is. But though another 12 months has passed and we have backslidden, yet he still says, return. Have you ever heard him say to you, that's all right, you can carry on just as you've been doing. I own that. I will bless it. I will indeed cause it to prosper. My friend, God will never cause that to prosper, which is sinful. He'll never own it. Friends, his great purpose here below was to purge away sin. Because, my friend, in Jesus Christ, there never has been found a trace of sin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Put away those thoughts all this night concerning the future. He will not bless that which is of your own production, which comes forth from sin. No. Oh, I say, the awful sin of free will. I know people do not like to speak about free will and the free grace. But what do we mean by free will? Well, the way which we choose of our own inclination, to our own fallen desires. Choose on the grounds that we choose. Friends, Jesus has never pointed out a way of salvation like that, and he never will. But my friends, we are told so clearly that by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourself. It is, listen, the gift of God. So therefore, we cannot buy it by our own merit, by our own ability, by giving ourselves to God, being dedicated to him. That will achieve nothing. Well, because if we are dedicated truly to God, we'll seek Him great in all things, to know and to do His will. Oh, I say, Jesus Christ, that is forever the same. Therefore, with regards to thoughts of the future, I exhort you to abandon them now, if we are resting and relying upon our own thoughts, our own way. My friend, God has never countenanced sin, and neither has the Lord Jesus Christ. And no, He never will. We need to bear these things in mind. I want to just speak another word, as children have been included much today. And it's this. We might often say, well, you can't expect the young of today to accept the same ideas that we do. Friends, we never accepted them. Indeed not. Do we not recall that very spirit in us which said, I will not have this man to reign over me? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. Friend, did He not empty us out? And in His mercy, has He not filled us with Himself? Therefore, I say, it will be the same salvation for our offspring and the generation to come. Friend, are we not living witnesses to this, that God is able? I love those words. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can both ask or think. He's able. I defy anybody this night to say God is not able. I know of only one thing that God cannot do, and that is He cannot forsake His covenant, His promise. He cannot forsake His people. No, my friend. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child? Well, yes, she may forget, but He said, I will not forget thee. I will not revise my law, my thoughts, my attitude to sin. Never, never. He came for this one purpose, to purge away our sin. Friend, it cost Him so much. It cost Him His life. It cost Him His all. It cost Him such pain and shame and ignominy that when He stood in the sinner's place instead, and surely that is the way it's got to ever be. Therefore, my friend, our encouragement of the future and for you young people is that God never, never changes. He spake by the prophet, saying these simple words, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not concerned. And when the children of Israel returned to build the temple, you remember in the days of Nehemiah and Haggai, they run into great trouble. And one of the biggest troubles they run into was themselves. They got tired of it. And they had a love to their own things. Yet they wanted to build their own houses. So the house of God and Jerusalem ceased from being rebuilded. Did God smile upon it? No, my friends, it didn't. He blasted their crops, did he not? And sent mildew. He also sent drought. And with regards to their money, they put it, it reads as in bags with holes in. And what does that mean? Well, it came in easy enough and it went away just as quick. In other words, there was not prosperity. God, my friends, did not smile upon it. So some might well have said, well, what can we do now? You can't do anything about a situation like this. But God said, not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We might be thinking about might and power, but that will never achieve anything. Is there not sometimes an element when people think and say, might is right? Oh yes. Let's look to ourselves. Are we exercising that spirit? I have might and power, and they're going to knuckle down under me. That will not achieve anything. But what will achieve something and be effective is the work of his spirit. Oh yes, it is when he changes the heart, renews the will, and turns our feet to Zion's hill. And I say it must be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I want to continue by speaking more with regards to the way of salvation, setting forth that we have an unchanging and unalterable God. And why? Because the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Where would we be but for the mercy of the Lord? My friend, we'll be cast out of his sight forever. We read that God did not even spare his own dear son, but offered him up for us all, that is his people. What a lesson to learn. He did not spare. What are we sparing? Should we be sparing everything? If he gave all for our salvation, ought not we to be ready to give our all for him? We live in a world where there's mass need and poverty. I say, is not the Christian church on the main, walking by on the other side, completely ignoring the need of others? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. He is the perfect example. We must not think of other people as being our example. We have the Lord Jesus Christ being our example. Do you understand that the language of the hymn writer when he said, he saw me ruined in the fall and loved me notwithstanding all. He saw me in my lost estate, his loving kindness, oh how great. My friends, we might speak of those in days gone past who walked in the very fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We dare not say that is different today. There's nothing different. Our state, our condition, is like those of old, ruined in the fall. He spoke, did he not, by the prophet Ezekiel. Is it in that day when he shall cause his people to return? He'll take away the heart of stone and give to us a heart of flesh. Hast thou examined thy heart of late? Is it a heart of stone or is it a heart of flesh? Is it indeed a heart that's full of all self-interest? Or is it a heart of flesh? That brings us to the feet of Jesus to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why, Jesus and his wondrous love, he has the same effect upon poor sinners as ever he did. Jesus Christ declared when he came here on earth the reason for which he came, and nothing has altered since that time. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I say, what of repentance, friend, today? Have we repented? Have we changed? Or have we altered? What is repentance? Oh, God forbid that we should ever put repentance and remorse in the same bracket. I only ever heard George Rose preach once, and I believe I learned a lesson that day I haven't forgotten. And it was this. He said in his preaching that repentance and remorse are poles apart. For repentance drives a poor sinner to Christ. Remorse will drive him from Christ. Then we need ask the question ourselves. Which way have events in our life affected us? Is it remorse and driven us from Christ, murmuring, complaining? Why should I have this? Why should I bear that? Or has it brought us to repentance? A complete change of heart and mind. Fresh views of ourselves. Surely give us fresh views of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I think that hymn writer must have had repentance actively working in his soul when he wrote, his way was far darker and rougher than mine, and did my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Oh, I say, what a mercy that is. But my friends, the Lord does not lay down these things without promised help and merciful support, does he? No. For Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Now we know what it is for when a thing perishes. You can see it deteriorating, don't you? Until it's completely useless. Solemn, if our religion, our faith is like that. Begins very well and apparently sounds good. But as we go on in life's journey, it fades away. Oh, I feel that to be a sad thing, as from time to time we come in contact with this. When men become competent and full of their own knowledge, and thus they're not indeed the soft heart before the Lord. when their prayers is not asking the Lord for anything, but telling him everything. But Jesus points out, I give unto my sheep eternal life. He will guard them and he will protect them. Does he not work all things after the counsel of his own will? Not to drive you from him, sinner, but to bring you closer to him. Do we not find this as we go on in life's journey, that that short but effectual prayer grows more frequent? Lord, help me. I say, what a wonderful thing that is. We read that dear woman, she came and worshipped him. And I believe this is real worship, the only form of worship that the Christian church will ever know. Lord, help me. I say, what a wonder it is that, oh, today he waits that he might be gracious, that he might help us. Why do we seem to come to that position? Is that everything seems hopeless and helpless. Things, say, they go from bad to worse. I can't do anything. Friend, there we are brought to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. Lord, thou canst do anything. I do not seek to be some great one. I do not seek to magnify myself. But Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I say, Jesus does not alter. He does not change, poor sinner. And if the Lord has brought thee this day, whether you're young or old, down to bedrock bottom, yes, then you can truly come in here. Lord, help me. Surely he must help afford in his own way and in his own time. He's still able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you can ask or think. I say, think of those words. We think a lot. We may ask a lot. We may think, oh, I've asked too much. But my friends, we can never ask too much, for his grace and love and power is such. No, my friend, he is able to do exceeding abundantly. Are you too vile, too sinful to be found amongst the people of God? Yes, you may think so, and others might think so. But Jesus has never told you that. Hasn't that become a burden to you? Is it a heavy load that weighs you down day by day? Lord, I cannot do it. I cannot do it in and of myself. He said, come unto me. Oh, I say, what a wonder that is. He's ever the same. He says to poor and needy sinners, come unto me. Have you come to that breaking point? I cannot go on. I cannot continue. No, you can't. But friends, I've been thankful for that word, that promise. Thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Friend, what a mercy that is. Jesus is forever the same. And our sin, I say, is the same, is it not? I say, how often then many errands will be to the throne of grace on account of your sins. You may at this time be thinking, well, I suppose I shouldn't be doing this or that, but it doesn't matter much. But as you go on in life's journey, do we not come to this place? The more I strive against sin's power, I sin and stumble yet the more. The hymn writer speaks as if he got over that stile. But some of us, I believe, know that it goes on. But friends, he brings us to his feet to confess our sins. He is forever the same. Jesus said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Bless his dear name, my friend. If the love of Christ has made us loathe our sins more and more, a heavenly desire to be distant from them here below, to give ourselves, as it were, our time in meditating upon his love and his mercy. Yes, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. Friends, in other words, it could be said, Jesus Christ, who is continuously the same. Oh, the wonderful word forgiveness. Oh, is in the scriptures, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Forgiveness, friends. Is this what we desire? You can't buy it, can you? But my friend, it's a good job we can't, because we'd be bankrupt by now, wouldn't we? But he gives forgiveness. Friend, he gives it. I say, just think of this. Oh, he is forever the same. The disciples inquired how often we should forgive our brother. To 7 times? He said, no, I go beyond to 70 times 7. Endless, continuous forgiveness. Friend, if we need such forgiveness from Jesus, it is meet that we should forgive everyone that trespasses against us. Friend, peace cannot exist where forgiveness doesn't abound, can it? Something has to be changed. Something has to be altered. This can only be done by Jesus Christ. Bless his dear name, my friends. He is forever the same. We may be emotional, naturally speaking. We may feel quite softened over various things. But friends, there's no softness of heart like the softening, oh, that Jesus brings. No. What a wonder that is. Do you know a better place, a sweeter place on earth, than when you find that Jesus is the same, when you creep beside him as a worm, when you come like Hannah and are brought to pour out your soul unto the Lord? Friend, he is forever the same. The teaching of the church down through the ages is based upon Jesus Christ forever being the same. The strength and the power of salvation, where does it lie? It lies herein, in the love of God, in the love of Jesus Christ and the love of the Holy Ghost to poor and needy sinners. Take away that love, there would not be such a thing as salvation. Our prospect would be unbearable. But what a mercy to have a prospect that is beyond this world. It will only be found in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. But I cannot leave this word tonight. Now, we're just referring to the eternal sonship of Christ. A deep mystery, a mystery that's been argued and contradicted down through the ages. I say, let not controversies spoil your sweetness and knowledge of it. No, Jesus Christ is forever the same. Friend, he was with God the Father in the creation of this world. He was with God the Father when that wonderful covenant of grace was drawn up to save and to rescue ruined man. Oh, nothing has altered, nothing has changed. When he came into this world, and we find him there in Gethsemane, in the sacred humanity, we find him saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will. I say, listen to those words. If it was meet for Jesus so to speak, and continuously so, is it not for us also to seek that grace, Lord? Oh, so to know and to do his will. Oh, the sacred humanity of Christ. Then he said this, Jesus, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. We find no other that is able and capable of this. But Jesus Christ did, my friends. He laid down his life for his sheep, that they might live, that they might be his forever and forever. Yes, Jesus Christ is forever the same. He is the eternal Son of God. And now, do we not remember this? That he ascended up on high. And he said, ye men of Galilee, why gaze ye up into heaven? That same Jesus will come again. The same Jesus. Oh, Jesus, the same forever. He'll come again. Yes, and he'll take his people home to glory. He'll save them, my friend. He knows that they could not do anything. Friend, if he left the last step into heaven upon our shoulders, our responsibility, we'd fail. But so dear, my friends, was the cost of salvation. He would never leave that to his people, having loved his own. He loved them unto the end. But I must draw a close to these few thoughts tonight. But oh, I say, I hope these thoughts, these simple thoughts, might remain with you. And may indeed the Holy Spirit favour your soul with them. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Amen.
After the benediction, we will sing the doxology. But first we will sing hymn 667, 667 to the tune Huntingdon, 766. Rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. He is my refuge in each deep distress. The Lord my strength and glorious righteousness. Through the floods and flames, he leads me safely on, and daily makes his sovereign goodness known. Hymn 667.
And failings, even in our best devotions. Take us under thy care and keeping. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.